Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Carl Carlson.
Hey, Carl. Done any laundry lately?
Yes. Lots. And I've washed the dishes with the dishwasher.
Yeah. You mentioned some article that you ran across, and it reminded me of one that I got forwarded to me a couple of weeks ago about white appliances, the washers, dryers, dishwashers, stuff like that, big metal boxes mostly that do stuff for us.
Let me tee this up because the subject that I'd love to talk about is the reliability of large appliances. But it also applies, the whole concept applies to the reliability of just about anything.
Yep.
So if you're a listener and you're not involved in large appliances, listen to this from the viewpoint of what might be applicable in your field. I ran across this, and I know you ran across something similar. Every day I kind of scan the Wall Street Journal to see if there's anything interesting to me. And in the personal finance section is an article titled, quote, "The lifespan of large appliances is shrinking," unquote. And I go, wow, here we are in Wall Street Journal. We're talking about the reliability of appliances. That's got to be cool. So I read the entire thing and reflected on it and was real happy that somebody cared. And here's the Cliff Notes summary, if I could use that term.
We have to send a royalty to them now.
Appliance technicians have been aware of data. There's data being gathered by appliance technicians that they are having to do more work more often on large appliances. And similarly, the Yelp, which is like the came about from the like what was called the Yellow Pages, are seeing a lot more repair requests on large appliances. I'm talking about dramatic increases the last number of years. And the article says this is because of computerization, more sensors, increase in number of components, maybe a lowering in quality of materials. They basically are floundering in the article trying to get the source of why this is happening. And the conclusion is that even with high-end appliances, they're not as durable, and the lower-end appliances are actually more durable. And so it comes to this interesting conclusion that if you buy products that have less features, you're going to have better durability, better reliability. Well, we know a lot about this subject.
Yeah.
And I thought it'd be fun to talk about it.
Well, it's, you know, the white appliances are a really mature market, right? There's in people have got their appliances and the dishwasher or washing machine or whatever, and it's just a staple in the home, and every new house is built, gets one. And the innovation is sort of like the iPhone is a model of that, where the first one was good. The second one had way cooler features. The third one even had more cool features. Now it's like, I can't tell the difference between a 50 megapixel camera and a 55 megapixel camera, and I really don't care. And so I'm not spending $1,000 to get a new one. Whereas the washing machines, you know, I'm thinking of my grandmother's washing machine was cast iron. It was bolted to the floor and it had an on-off switch. That was it. It would agitate, it put water in, it agitate, it would, you know, spin and then repeat. That's all it did. And
I get so confused, you know, walking to do laundry and I got to make a ton of decisions.
Oh, you know, well, you got to quit making, you know, all these different clothes. I'm afraid to sort the laundry. I might get my hand slapped all the time. Oh, that doesn't go with that. What?
Yeah, right.
Just throw it in. Part of it is that we, over time, said, oh, we can wash this kind of stuff, or we can do, you know, a permanent press versus cotton. We can do this and that. Gentle cycle, heavy cycle, this thing. And And then on top of it is, I don't know how long ago it's been, but there's a sticker on the boxes that we see in the store that says energy use, you know, or amount of water it uses for a washing machine. And there's the article I saw was more on the influence of government on setting regulations about conservation standards and measurement systems and stuff like that as a prompt for the white appliance folks to make improvements. You know, I can wash your clothes with 1 teaspoon of water kind of things. And but to do that, they need to add a lot more sensors, a lot more, they have to have a lot more touch points to understand what's going on with that apparatus and how they heat water, how they use water, how they do this or that. And the other thing just makes it more complex. Yeah, you can make meet the new standards, or it's more features. Yeah, Diane and I were looking a couple of years ago, we were looking for a new washing machine, and it was like, we really don't need 687 options. We're going to use 3. Let's get one that has 3. And they just didn't, you couldn't find it. They didn't have it.
That is very true. And so it really brings up an interesting, I was thinking of when I was pondering this morning after I read the article, I'm thinking, okay, what does a reliability engineer do? If you're working in a large appliance company or any other company that has complex, that's retail, that has complex equipment, mm-hmm. With lots of sensors and software and what have you, what is the dynamic going on? I'm seeing 3 dynamics here. One of them is we want to satisfy the needs of the consumer, but you come in with trying to dazzle them with features. And so you say, okay, this one can do this and this and this. And some of the consumers go, wow, that's cool. But of course, nobody talks about the trade-off and what that does to reliability.
Well, that's not on the box. they don't list that on the box. This one only lasts for 3 years.
and then there's also the word of mouth. I mean, for years, Toyota and Honda were known as going back to the 80s and 90s, mm-hmm. As high reliability vehicles compared to the domestic vehicles. And that was well deserved. And that became a marketing issue.
Yep.
And still is in many cases. So you have the marketing from a durability, reliability standpoint. How important is that to the consumer versus the, I'm going to dazzle you with all these cool features. How important is that? And then, as you point out, the regulatory, where you want to conserve energy, you want to conserve resources, and that requires its own complexity. So you have these dynamics going on, and the reliability engineer has to advocate for reliability in the middle of all that.
Yeah. And see, that's where I ended up at a conference. I was sitting next to a guy from Whirlpool, and I told him the story about my grandmother's cast iron that's been working for 50 plus years or stuff like that. And he says, well, she's not a good customer. She hasn't bought another unit in 50 years.
Right.
And those, we don't use cast iron anymore because it costs a fortune to ship. And most people don't have floors that can support it, much less want to move it into the house or not. And on and on and on. And he was basically in, I think there's a European study that says, well, how long should an appliance last that you will buy that brand again? And the Whirlpool guy talked about it, is that we found that with washers and dryers in particular, if it lasts for 10 years, you're very, very likely to buy that brand again. And the same mm-hmm. goes for vehicles, right? If you can trust that car, or it starts every time and it always works, and eventually, you know, yeah, it's getting a little long in tooth and it's getting old, but it served me well. I got my money's worth out of it over the last 5 years or 10 years or whatever duration is important to you. You're very likely to stay with that brand. It has a correlation. If you can trust that vehicle, you'll do it again. And you can trust that washer machine, you buy it again. And so what they did as a reliability engineer, they said, well, we're going to warranty the core pieces of this thing for 10 years. So it has to have a very low failure rate, repair rate out to 10 years. That's the warranty and how we interact with that. Yet we don't want it to last 11 years. So we essentially, it's a very high beta on a Weibull curve It's very low failure rate out to 10 years, and then everything else is going to shake apart by then. they don't make it the last 20 years. And we did the same with inkjet printers, right? The printer itself needed to last a minimum of 5 years, but longer is better because you keep buying ink for it. Whereas if it only lasted a year, which was the warranty period, then it's likely the customer would go buy a competitor's product because your printer didn't work very long.
Yeah, I got to believe and what you're describing as the expectations for reliability.
Yep.
The 10 years of the consumer says, okay, it's got to last this long, and then I'd like to buy another one. That's a nice summary of the expectations for reliability. That expectation doesn't seem to be translated yet from features.
Yeah.
So if you see this PDF file that says, here's all the 11 new features of this product, people aren't asking.
Well, they expect it still to last 10 years. But that information is not readily available to the customer. It's a problem. And it's the marketing folks don't want to say, well, if you get the high-end one with all these other features and 15,000 sensors in it and stuff like that, you're going to have a repairman living in your house to keep it running.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with cars, right? The Ferraris or the F Formula One vehicles, they're designed to last a race.
Yeah, and they're going to fail.
And then they
go to the race.
Yeah. You go through the checkered flag and then it rolls to a stop because the brakes have failed, because they just don't. But they're designed for that particular purpose very deliberately. They last just long enough because anything extra costs them fuel and time.
And I remember when I would go to a Applied Reliability Symposium was a symposium that I went to a number of times that was sponsored by ReliSoft. And I'm having dinner with a software engineer from a very big company. I won't mention a name. And he's describing to me their product development process where they know they're going to have bugs after launch, but they have to meet the schedule to be first. They want to get that product out the door because they're in a race with other companies on new features. He says, we just big number of failures that we have to iron out. And I'm thinking to myself then, and I still think about this, is that a good reliability approach? That's a business approach.
Well, it's a trade-off. And I'm thinking also of the idea of the regulations saying you got to use less water, less energy, all these other things. That is a business approach, and reliability has a role in that. If we can make the argument that if the customer has to buy a new machine sooner than previously, right? Yeah, we make a little bit of profit, but the larger cost outranks all of the feature sets, all of the sensors, you saved a gallon per load of water. And you can tally up what impact, what the cost of that all is, and how much it costs to create that water and distribute it and everything else, versus I got to spend another $1,000 to replace this thing. And all of the attendant environmental impact it is to build that new unit, get new steel, all the electronics, all the components, all of the environmental impact of that. And balance those two out and say, if we add this feature, it's going to save us a nickel and it's going to cost the world a dollar.
And this is such an important point you're making. I'll characterize it as life cycle modeling, or looking at the entire picture, which is not just a piece of a single equipment, how long it lasts and what the impact is on the environment, but the net impact on the environment for the entire array of equipment, the set and the development costs and the testing costs, and then the reintroduction of, basically new models having to come out constantly because marketing is pressing for new features. Mm-hmm. No one's adding up those costs. I mean, some people do on electric vehicles, and they say, okay, well, yeah, we have to look at the costs of the generating the electricity that goes into the electric vehicle.
That's right. It's not magic, guys. That electricity comes from somewhere.
It comes from somewhere. And so we have to look at the whole concept of large to stay focused on large appliances is if we're going to make them more complex to meet regulatory, but also to wow people with features, then we have to also work on making them reasonably reliable. I don't think a company is going to stay in business very long if they get a black eye in terms of somebody spends thousands of dollars for a new refrigerator and then it doesn't work.
Right.
And they have to get, you know, spend a lot of money on repairmen. That's going to affect the marketing in the future. And so you got to look at that whole picture. And I think it's incumbent on reliability to speak clearly on this subject and to work to improve the reliability, even though it's complex, and make sure they communicate with management about what the impact is if you don't work on improving reliability and just launch great new features, which might get you a boost quickly, but won't last in the market.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, is the cycle time is long enough that, you know, the next time I go look for a refrigerator, it's going to be four generations from now, you know, and it's not a field that I spend a whole lot of time analyzing and doing failure data for and everything else. And, you know, it's, but I certainly consider reliability when I go purchase something, especially a white appliance, a big appliance. And it hadn't really been all that conscious in the past. But Diana and I look at this thing that it had, you know, 600 different permutations of settings on these 17 buttons. And I'm like, do you want to figure that out? No, I don't want to figure that out. Let's get one with less buttons.
It's just
convenience, exactly. Kind of thing.
We could, there's an endless amount of, I'll use it, griping that we could do. Indulge it for a minute or two more, but I think back to the 1980s and 90s when really we bought our last washer dryer from our previous house in the 1990s. And it stayed with us for like 30 years. It was unbelievable. It just kept going and going and going.
Yeah.
And we always said we're going to replace it when it fails. And I kept replacing thermostats and this type of thing. But it just keeps working. And we ended up selling it with our house to the new owners.
Yeah.
And it's still going. So I ran into this recently with a dishwasher. And I decided that rather than buy a new one, which has a high failure rate, I'm going to repair the one I have, which is much more robust, less features, but I'll repair it to keep it going. This is a subject that consumers, I think, are intensely interested in. And I think if reliability can get the big picture here and communicate through marketing to consumers the value of reliability and communicate to management on the value of reliability, it could be a huge marketing advantage, I think, to companies if you can make a difference.
Yeah, yeah. I've never worked with or consulted with a white appliance company. So it's one of the areas that I know people there. I know people that work in the various companies, and it is complex. There's no doubt about it. They're trying to meet all of the expectations, and the marketing and regulatory folks saying you got to do this, this, and this, and there's pressures there. There's cost pressures. You know, the same with automobiles is the actual price of those things have really not changed all that much, but now they're just rolling computers.
Yes.
You know, it's amazingly complex.
I think the automotive business has stepped up a lot in terms of focusing on reliability and durability of automobiles. It's much better than some other industries that have not really stepped up to that challenge.
That's true.
Not perfect. I mean, they still have recalls and black eyes and what have you, but at least they focus for a number of years on it.
Well, it used to be a car would only last, you expect it to only last 3 years. Now it's, you know, 10 to 20 years is more of the expectation changes. It's one of the things I often say about reliability goals. You can set the probability and duration and all those other things that go with a good reliability goal, except you got to consider number five is that the customer will demand it to have more features, to last longer, cost less. That will never stop changing. There's going to be this onward pressure to more for less kind of thing. And
yeah, and kind of summarizing here from this article, you know, what does the reliability engineer do? What do you do if you're in reliability management, or which I'm assuming our listeners are going to be involved in that field somewhat. One of the things that came out of this discussion with you, Fred, is that we really need to look at, and people need to be conversant with the overall life cycle, the larger picture, not just one item going through and how long is it going to last, but what does it mean to what business is concerned about? The environment, they're concerned about their reputation, they're concerned about regulatory. All those things, I think reliability needs to be involved in and be able to interpret and guide how reliability can benefit this business.
Yeah, no, I would definitely add one more to that list you have of what we get involved in is the likelihood of repurchase, brand loyalty type stuff. And it's into the marketing area is, if I've had to call a repairman out 15 times in the 5 years I own this product, I'm going to ask the repair guy, because now we're in first name, or, you know, basis. And, you know, which one do you not go fix? what brand do you just not see?
That's a great source of information.
Yeah. And especially you get to know the folks that keep showing up to fix things, you know, they know. It's something to keep in mind, is that understanding, you know, does it meet the shock and vibration for transportation is one piece of what we do. Yet the larger picture is it of value both to the customer and to the brand and to the company, and connecting those dots and what are we really trying to achieve needs to be part of that very early discussion about what are we going to do with this new product? How are we going to put it together? And that applies to all products, not just the white appliances.
If you're a listener in the appliance business or any business, in other words,
or use an appliance,
subject, I think this subject is going to impact you in some way. And I'd love to hear from you as to what your view is on the role of reliability in this complex, when we're generating and developing complex systems, and how you impact your business and your management and your customers while you're executing reliability. Just love to hear from you on the subject.
Yeah. Now it's, you know, what's working, what's not working, what challenges are you facing? We'd love to hear that, and probably make it into another episode or two or three as we go forward. So head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And there you can find a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our about pages on the Ascendo site. Plenty of ways to get in touch once you get that dishwasher unloaded and taken apart so you can repair it. But, you know, take pictures. Let us know how it goes.
Very good. Nice talking to you, Fred.
Yeah, take care. Good luck with your dishwasher, Carl.
Okay.
All the best.
Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.